Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we're going to take a closer look at some of the myths surrounding EV ownership. We'll hear about Disney's plans to crack down on password sharing. And as always, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with a survey from the AA, which was released on Wednesday, I want to say. The headline from the survey was that AA Ireland survey highlights misinformation as key barrier to electric vehicle adoption. As you know, we have a monthly segment on this programme dedicated to EV reviews, news and myth-busting. So it's only right that Derek Riley of Nevo.ie joins me now to talk through some of these findings. Derek, how are you?
I'm very good. Back myth-busting is my daily job now, Jess. It's great. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Like, it's interesting because I think what we've done over the last few years on this programme, I always ask you the stupid question and we try and bust some myths as we go along. But the results of this survey kind of have me a little bit concerned because it does row against some of the things that you and I have spoken about and what I've heard other industry experts talk about as well. When you saw these results, was there one in particular that jumped out at you?
Yeah, it was just the misinformation and in the AA report with Jennifer. It's very much about that battery health, and it was range anxiety, but now the batteries can go across the country, no problem now. So it's a funny one. It's like people are looking for an excuse not to go electric, and that's fine too. As we've always said, Jess, electric vehicles aren't for everybody. Nobody is forcing you to buy one, but there is a European mandate coming in 2035 that will say, do you know what? You won't be able to buy a brand new petrol or diesel car moving forward, but you will be able to buy secondhand ones and they'll be on the road for the next probably 50 years, all going the way people want to go. But yeah, people feel a bit up in arms about something that potentially they were never going to buy anyway. So it's so interesting to read the results.
So one of the ones that kind of caught my eye was that half people agree or don't agree that EVs are better for the environment. Let's start with that one, because that I think was the big notion of EVs when the concept first started floating around, was that it's great for the environment. And obviously there are other benefits as well. But that figure of half like not believing it, what would be your response to that one?
It's very much about where the batteries are coming from. And it's that education piece. This whole survey just says we need to put out more education. It's not about positive spin. It's not about negative spin. Give people the facts. And that's what we do at Nevo. That's what we did at the recent show in the RDS. It's when somebody asks a question, give them the information and then they can make up the decision themselves. So it may be, okay, you don't think that the car is better for the environment or is less of an impact on the environment. Initially, an electric vehicle, yes, does take more carbon to produce. But after servers are after finding as the grid gets cleaner and cleaner as you're charging it, excuse me, you're talking maybe 15 to 20,000 kilometers of actually driving it. And from that point onwards, that electric vehicle is not producing any more carbon. It doesn't start to become carbon neutral, but that petrol or diesel car is still emitting carbon every single day of its life, be that hybrid, be that mild hybrid, et cetera, et cetera. And so that understanding that, you know what, yes, it is more intensive of carbon at the start, but as you use that car and drive that vehicle and depending on how you charge it, but even if you charge it directly off the grid, and that'll be another thing people throw back at myself, oh, it's only as clean as the electricity going into it, but our grids are getting cleaner and cleaner all the time with more renewable energy. And so where the battery is coming from, the chemistry of the battery, cobalt is a great one, and the images of unfortunate children in Africa mining cobalt. But what do people say then when you say, oh, well, there's cobalt-free batteries now? And so it's literally taking a myth, dispelling it, and they pull up another one, and you have to dispel that one as well. But I enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but it's all about educated buyers, understanding electric vehicles, and making sure it's right for them, where what you're getting is uneducated people thinking they know about electric vehicles that they're never going to buy anyway, and putting it out on social media and even the media in general, and even the report. And it's great that AA did these reports, but talking about that 1 million electric vehicles by 2030, that goal is no longer the government's goal. So to quote it in a brand new report is unfortunately, again, misleading. The target is 30% of the private vehicle fleet by 2030. That 1 million soundbite or headline is gone now. And so when I see it at the start of a report or a survey, I go, well, straight away, you don't know what the actual government target is anymore. And so should I really take this survey, you know, seriously?
Mm. And I think that is a really important point here, because I actually welcome all of these surveys and reports, because I think it's a good litmus test. I wouldn't, you know, bet my life on it or bet my house on it at all. But I do think these little snapshots, because every time you're on the show, like you're on at least once a month, and every time you're on, people will email in. And we're still getting, it's happening less, but we still get the same people who get in touch saying, actually, if you fact check it, it's not better for the environment. Or if you fact check it, the range isn't as good as they're saying it is on X, Y and Z car. There's an element of Groundhog Day about this. And I'm slightly baffled by it, because there's more and more information out there if people just took the time to dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah, for sure. And there's also more misinformation out there. And there's more, and the algorithm of social media versus media, the algorithm of social media, whether it's a car going on fire, whether it's a car involved in an accident, whether it's whatever it may be, the algorithm of social media loves the fact that people are engaging, commenting, sharing it, all that kind of stuff. And the ones that engage the most are the ones that are potentially most misinformed. And so, and they're in that bubble. And we had this with vaccinations a couple of years ago. I don't know what it is, Jess. Now, every day somebody wakes up and goes, okay, I can see that fuel prices are after going up since the 1st of April, and it's costing me a bit more to run this petrol or diesel vehicle. I'm going to go out and start to research about electric vehicles. So as much as myself and yourself, Jess, have spoken about this over the last number of years, it's very much day one for a lot of people every day. And so, yes, there is an element of this Groundhog Day stuff going on. But like any new technology, there's going to be learning. There's going to be education. It's a bit like I knew some people that didn't want to get a smartphone or even a mobile phone because they were worried that there might be somewhere where they wouldn't have coverage.
Yeah.
And now everybody has a smartphone or even a mobile phone. And electric vehicles is a bit of a funny one because they feel like the government are forcing it upon them.
Yeah.
And as I said, we've got 11 years before you'll be able to not buy a new petrol or diesel vehicle. So that's 2, 3, 4 more cycles if you take 2 to 3 year cycles, depending on your electric vehicle. So by then, charging infrastructure won't be an issue. Used car markets won't be an issue. Battery health understanding won't be an issue, but we already have that data from other markets. So again, yes, electric vehicle sales March versus March of last year are down over 40%. 2023 sales were probably the end of 2022 orders that weren't fulfilled. So it's probably a bit of a falsehood. Overall sales are slightly down, 14% down on last year. But the numbers of electric vehicles that were actually sold, because the numbers are so small currently, like at the moment, so far this year, we're at around 8,000 EV sold. Okay. And the way that the media are talking about it, you'd think it was 800,000 versus just over 9,000 that were sold this time last year. So an extra 1,300 people bought an EV last year versus this year, in the grand scale of things. But you know what, Jess? It makes for good media. It makes for good headlines. And those that like to hate electric vehicles will jump on that. Now, if electric vehicle sales go up next month, I wonder will there be as much furry about it.
Yeah, I just, you've hit on the nail on the head there. I don't get the hate and the outrage about EVs, because if it's not for you, then just don't buy one. Or if you're curious about it, ask the question. And, you know, there are, like, obviously you can get a hybrid vehicle as well. But this thing of trying to tar the whole EV industry just because you don't get it or you're not interested in it, it kind of makes my brain bend a little bit.
And you're getting this a bit more and more, because obviously you feature me on the show and you're in public transport taxis on a regular basis, and people will start technology. It is technology, and that's your forte. So they're asking you about it as well. So you've seen where we've come from and how our conversation has progressed over the last number of years on this slot on the show. But as I go back to today, the show is going out today on air or on podcast, and today is the first day somebody's thought, you know what? Oh, actually, I'm going to go electric. And now I need to start understanding, okay, how long is the battery going to last? Where am I going to charge it? All of those kind of things. How many apps do I need on the phone? What difference does the weather make? All the things that we've chatted about. And as you said, Jess, you can start going back on the different podcasts and listen about it. So unfortunately, there is an element of Groundhog Day. But listen, you know what? Happy to run through the report and go through it. And as you say, it's definitely a litmus test. And what is the sentiment of that 1,000 people that they surveyed? And yes, you can extrapolate that out into the majority of the population. But sometimes the most vocal anti-EV proponents, anti-EV opponents are the loudest ones. And listen, my grandmother had a great saying, empty vessels make most noise. But I'm not saying that these are people are empty vessels, but yeah, some people really hate electric vehicles, and I think they hate me then because I'm pro electric vehicles, but I'm not forcing anybody to go electric.
No, and I think, anyway, look, but I would, if you are someone who is genuinely skeptical, not from a point or place of rage, will you please get in touch with us and send in your thoughts and concerns? Because, Derek, that might be the way to go about it, is if we get in black and white from somebody who just doesn't like them, and maybe we could talk through it in detail, because I'm genuinely curious about it. If it's something that is better for the environment, as you said, in the longer term, but also if it saves you money in terms of the cost that you're putting on the car, like, I don't get the skepticism or the negativity.
Yeah, and it's going to come down to the environmental stuff is lovely, and we all say that we want to be more green and eco-conscious and all the rest of it. But as we've mentioned before, Jess, it comes down to the actual cost of somebody in their pocket. And so with electric vehicles, there's a bit of a thing there where there's a green premium. There's the price of an equivalent electric versus a combustion engine vehicle is more. So straight away, that's an easy target for the naysayers to say, oh, it's more expensive, I can't afford it. But now when you look at the likes of the Peugeot E2008, small compact SUV, versus its top trim petrol version. And so trim for trim, they're fairly similar. They have all the bells and the whistles. It's roughly the same price. So price parity is starting to come into it. So, okay, now you're telling me that the cost of actually getting that electric vehicle versus the petrol or diesel equivalent is the same. Okay, I can't use that as something to beat Derek over the head with a big stick. So now, as you said, the running costs. If you're able to charge at home, so 80% of Ireland have the ability to have a driveway and put in a charger. An electric vehicle is potentially going to save you a lot of money because you can choose a different tariff and night rate. Now, Jess, there are 20% of people that don't have that ability. And yes, the government need to work on that so that overnight neighborhood charging is cost effective and allowing you to charge at a cheaper rate. And so the running cost needs to be taken into account. And again, this is where you're going to crunch the numbers. I got an email yesterday from a couple in Sligo that have two cars. They want to start thinking about going electric. And I said, OK, first thing you need to do, figure out what your range is like. What do you need on a regular basis? Last week, I was working with a company with 110 vans. First thing you have to do, let's look at what your vans are doing on a daily basis. And then lastly, then the servicing of these vehicles from 200 moving parts on an electric vehicle to 2,000 moving parts on a electric vehicle. And then you'll hear about battery replacements costing thousands and thousands. Again, misinformation and disinformation. It's all about asking the manufacturers, what's it cost to replace that battery? How many batteries have you actually replaced? Can it replace a cell? Can it replace a module? What's the cost of all of this? Tires is another one. I'll let you jump in there, Jess, before I keep talking.
I think it's worth having these conversations and going through it, because if people have genuine questions or concerns, that's why we have you on the shows, to try and talk through these things, not only when surveys come out, but just in general, because I do think the more you know, the better. But when it comes to the assessing whether it's for you or not, because you've said at the top and you've said it multiple times over the years in this show, EVs aren't for everyone. So who, like, who's in that bracket from your vantage point of, do you know what, don't even bother because it's not the right fit at this moment in time?
People who can't charge at home would be number one on that list. So if you haven't got the ability to use an overnight charging tariff, they'd be, so an EV may work for you, just be more expensive. And so it's not about will it or won't it, it's how much inconvenience do you want, or how much you want it to be not as cost effective as it could be. So people who don't have a home charger, reliant on public charging, but more and more workplaces are getting it in and then shopping around and understanding where your cheapest neighborhood charging is. So for example, the EV drivers in my neighborhood know one of the supermarkets, actually they're selling electricity cheaper than anywhere else. So they'll walk up to the supermarket, those that can't charge at home, and they'll plug in and it takes them 4 minutes to walk home. So you start to understand it. So that's the first thing, people who can't charge at home. The next one then, I was talking to somebody recently who is on the road for business, and they're in retail and they have to drive around the country to different retail outlets that they are regional managers for. And I said, EVs potentially aren't for you at the moment, just because that charging network that you will rely on a daily basis may not be fit for purpose just yet. Getting better, absolutely. And I can see the planner permissions and I can know what chargers are coming where and where they're going to be in the hubs, etc. What I don't agree with is somebody that's saying, I won't go electric now because I go down to Galway twice a year and I don't want to stop with the kids for an extra 30 minutes somewhere. And then I said, well, you probably have to stop with the kids anyway for 30 minutes. And they say, oh God, yeah, we couldn't drive Galway all the way without stopping with the kids for 30 minutes. I was like, well, why don't you just stop at somewhere where there's an EV charger for 30 minutes? And they're like, oh, right. So you mean I don't have to stand there and hold the charger for 30 minutes? I can actually get out and go into the motor services and actually use the restrooms, have a break, food, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so EVs will work for you. You just have to plan more. And those people that say, oh, I don't want to be stopping and charging. We're in a climate crisis. And I don't like to get on my soapbox about this, but we're going to have to change how we live and consume and all of those stuff. And I think there's a bit of a blinkers at the moment where people say, I don't want to change how I live, but we're going to have to. And if it means me driving to Galway, having to stop for 30 minutes, or not drive at 120 kilometers an hour, I'm going to have to drive at 100 kilometers an hour. This is another big one that I get. Oh, I couldn't be driving at 100 kilometers an hour. I want to drive at 120 kilometers an hour. That's fine. You're wanting the speed, you're going to lose out on range. And that's the same for petrol or diesel or electric vehicle. Oh, if it gets cold in Ireland, the range won't be as effective in an electric vehicle. Absolutely. But you do know that in a petrol and a diesel car, when it gets cold as well, its efficiency goes down by 15 to 20% as well, the same as an electric vehicle. And I think that we're going to have to just do these on a monthly basis, Jess. And as stuff comes out and news, and as I drive new ones and bigger range and bigger batteries, we're going to that. But yeah, if people want to email in and ask a genuine question, I'm going to give the honest answer, the fact-based answer. Mm. And so that they get the information and then they can do with it as they wish and process it. But I think, yes, there's an element of this survey, but also that sales of electric vehicles going down. There is a bit of flux in the market at the moment and resale values and used car prices. But in the United Kingdom, which would be about 18 months ahead of Ireland, used electric vehicles are the fastest selling used car in the UK market. So they're selling quicker than petrol, diesel, hybrid. People want electric vehicles more than any other type. And that's around the corner for Ireland. And people think that this downward spiral is going to keep happening. Oh, people, oh God, they were conned in buying their electric vehicle. It's not going to be the case. We're going to be proven right because the technology is just better. And that's, and you know that, Jess, in many aspects of technology, when it is better, it will be the one that succeeds overall.
Email your questions, techtalk@newstalk.com, and even your anecdotes, your experiences, even if it's third or fourth hand, send in what you're hearing and we'll go through them. And we will, as Derek said, or he will, because he's the expert here, give the factual based answer. It may not be all rosy for EVs, but at the same time, it's better to get the facts rather than picking up bits and pieces here, there and everywhere. The email address is techtalk@newstalk.com. And of course, you can visit nevo.ie, which is an excellent portal, and it's your go-to place for all things electric vehicles. Derek, as always, thank you so much and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jess.
Now, you may have heard me talking about it during the week, but myself and Kathleen McNamee from Off The Ball have signed up to run the Women's Mini Marathon over the June Bank Holiday weekend. We're in training mode at the moment, and I think we're excited, but I know for sure that we're both very nervous and petrified. But we are doing it for an incredible cause, which is the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, which is one of our charity partners here at Newstalk. They've been working since 1979 to prevent the harm and heal the trauma of sexual violence. Every single euro that we raise will go towards supporting their work, and we would be eternally grateful if you had a few quid to donate. You can do so by going to idonate.ie/newstalkofftheball. So that's idonate.ie/newstalkofftheball. I'll be talking about it quite a bit between now and the June Bank Holiday weekend, but every single cent makes a difference. So please give what you can, if you can. I would be super grateful. Now, when we come back here on News Talk, we'll take a closer look at Disney's crackdown on password sharing.